Welcome to BFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Give a shout out also to all those that experienced the heavy wind of Sandy, the freezing snow of the ice storm coming down, that the Lord has heard our prayers. Lord, we thank you for stopping this storm dead in its tracks and making it, humbling it.
Yeah.
To welcome all of our new members of the VFN Radio audience. To welcome Alexander and Chad and Ricky and Joanne and Ruth Ann and Tiffany and Jackson and Nick and Alonzo. And if I could pronounce this name, I would say it, but welcome. Jim, Wyatt, Betty, Marilyn, Bernie, Shirley. Oh my, there's so many of you that are joining the VFN Radio audience, and we're so privileged to be having this conversation with you. Good morning, good morning. Give a shout out to all of our listeners in the Bronx and New York City and New Jersey and Pittsburgh and all the way down to Virginia. We were praying for you. The Lord heard our prayers.
Yeah.
Be strong and courageous, for the Lord thy God is with you. And if you don't know him, you can be with him. He's looking for you. Where are you, Adam? You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning from the, obviously the windy city of New Jersey is John Ramos. Hola! Sounds like coming in this morning. And also Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. You know, I just realized, I'm seeing these news reports now that I didn't realize 17 people died, lost their life, it looks like, in Hurricane Sandy, the aftermath. I didn't even know that. I thought that that we made it. Our prayers go out to the families that lost loved ones. It's a 1,000-mile-wide storm, and our hearts go out to you this morning. Well, we just pray that you would comfort those family members and that lost loved ones and those that have lost, have been hurt and harmed and lost property, God, that you would just touch the hearts of those who can help them, you know, in their areas, God, we pray in Jesus' name. I do want to say this morning, don't forget about Operation Blessing. Operation Blessing is always on the scene. You can get to the OB.org, that's O as in Oscar, OB as in boy, OB.org, and you can give. You can also go to your text on your mobile device, and you can text to the Red Cross. You can text Red Cross to 90999. That's text Red Cross to 90999, and immediately $10 will be given to the Red Cross by you, and you'll be able to put money instantly in the hands of those that are providing huge aid, where they're talking about an excess of $200 million. Is it?
Is it?
I think it's 200 million. It could be even more than that. I'm not really sure. But my goodness, it's very interesting. Is it 200 million?
I'm not aware of how much the cost is. So I was mentioning earlier, you were talking about the loss of life. They had a young boy that just found out had passed away when a tree fell on the home. And sort of, you know, continuing to lift that family up in prayer.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you just never know. I mean, the trees that happens, you know, down in the Gulf Coast from the hurricanes, if people are thinking just win, they don't realize that you got trees, power, water, surge, I mean, nonstop. Things are just coming from all directions. And in the context of that, you have tornadoes that are in like a whirlwind going on. And I can imagine, I haven't heard any report, but I have a chance to really do focus on that. But the it's just been major.
Right.
I mean, snow coming down with the warm storm of a low pressured hurricane. That's major. That is totally major. I don't want to say this. It took me a second to get my thoughts together. One thing is because my notes were scrolled 55 pages up. I'm thinking, like, if I keep scrolling down at any moment now, what I was going to share with you is going to pop up on my screen. And I had the faith. I had the faith that it was going to happen, and I kept scrolling, and bless the Lord, there they are.
Wow, amazing.
There they are. Well, I want to say this, too. The New York Stock Exchange, this is a very interesting thing. This is a very interesting thing. That it was closed down yesterday, and they're going to keep it closed today. Mm-hmm. You got to get this. This is what the Lord shared with me this morning in my abiding time. That this has not happened since the New York Stock Exchange trading, which the stock exchange are the owners of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that yesterday, how everything connects. So your 401k, Mr. and Mrs. Stockholder, you were shut down for 2 days.
All right.
And the interesting thing is this. This has not happened for 94 years.
Wow.
94 years. The last time this happened was 1918.
Wow.
And guess who was president in 1918? Yes. Woodrow Wilson.
Of course.
What is the Lord saying? Woodrow Wilson. John?
Not Woodrow.
Woodrow, the creator of, the chosen one by the progressive movement when they went to Princeton, where he was a professor there, and he was a good speechwriter. And you got to go to the VFN Torch, and this is obviously God speaking to us, because what happened in 100 years, I mean, that's 100, we got 6 more years to wrap up this 100-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
And since 1918, you think about it, if you go and go to wallbuilders.com and study what Alla Barton's saying about our schools and who's writing our books, that agnostics and atheists began to write our books for our schools. And they began to write God out of all of our school material.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all connected. And, they begin to turn all the reasons why George Washington and they fought the revolution in America was all about money. They turned everything about money. Isn't there 17, John? 17? 17 on the Declaration of Independence is 17 or 27 different reasons on the Declaration of Independence why they list. Taxation without representation is one of them.
I think it's about 20. Yeah, I think it's 27 in the 20s, but they believe it's in the 27.
Okay, and then but they only talk about taxation without representation. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing was they didn't have representative government.
Right.
And, so understand this, that the writers of our school books, since Woodrow Wilson, has been atheists and agnostics primarily. And what they're doing is writing God out of our books. And it's been a 100-year plan. And somebody says, well, it's 100 years. Very few people live beyond 100. And How could they, I mean, these people don't know that people, and that people don't know these people, and this is a whole different sect than that group, and this is a whole different government. You got to understand, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When you talk about generational curses and generational lingerings, that's people that take on the spirit of who begat them to be able to continue on with what's going on. That's how evilness can last, because it just goes to the next generation, and it's spiritual captivity, those who are held captive by the adversary. So this 100-year plan that they talked about, we're coming to the end of the 100-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange, has not been closed down like this since Woodrow Wilson was president.
Wow.
And he's the one that developed, because he looked around and he saw, he was, his father was a Presbyterian minister, and he was a Presbyterian. And he felt like that the plight, the problem with America was that we needed a bigger government to be able to meet the needs. And there was serious poverty. I mean, it was just, you can't describe what it was like, you know, and what he was, I mean, it was really bad what he was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But he led us to the crash. Anyway, so he began to think, well, then the answer must be government, or the people behind him began to think, and he got an agreement either way how that happened. And so we need a bigger government. You know, government can provide and government can do this. But the problem was World War One started.
Mm-hmm.
And we were making our money to feed our government off of our international taxing and trade, off of our products that Americans sold abroad. Well, mm-hmm. when you're at war, you don't have time to buy Cheetos. I mean, you're just too busy buying bullets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so Woodrow said, I will not go to war. I'm not going to do this thing. And, you know, and nobody wants to go to war anyway. But when he realized that his plan for big government was going to crash and burn because he didn't have the money, because the people that were buying our products and paying tariffs and taxes and all, which provided money for the government, wasn't going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, we got to get in this war so we get our customer base back.
Right.
Is that not wild? We went to kill people. We got involved in the world's evil and the battles between nations that we were not even a part of. We were committed not to even be a part of it, but we wanted bigger government. We weren't saying we wanted to be them. We just say we wanted money from them.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of like saying, no, I'm not for prostitution, but I like the fact that she buys my products.
Yeah.
Or he buys my products.
Right.
I'm not for the drug dealer and how he's selling drugs or she's stealing drugs. But I do realize they're using this drug money to be able to provide for legitimate needs, you know. And so, and with that, he went to war. He took us to war. World War One, mind you, not World War Two, World War Three. Our first world war, mm-hmm. our first one, our very first one. He took us to war because we need to solve all this war problem in the world so they can get our customer base back.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, you know, these other wars are about oil. Well, hello, that was about big government. Our first one was about big government and to keep it going.
Right.
And so it's been since 1918 since this happened.
Wow.
And we're looking at an economic crisis. And what did Woodrow do? Woodrow comes back and says, hey, I figured out how to stop this from ever happening again. Was he concerned about, remember, it was about money.
Mm-hmm.
It was about money, big government, the progressive movement. He was a professor. They came and got him.
Mm-hmm.
They came and got him to run for president. I don't know if it was in his ambitions or not to do it, but he saw, he kind of merged his ideas. He became the governor of Jersey and went on from there. You can find out more on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. So he develops a plan to resolve all this so it would never happen again. He writes out this big, huge thing called the League of Nations. And the League of Nations, he presented the idea, and he said that if we mix the nation's money, if we mix our money, mm-hmm. then it will, nobody will mess with another government, because if they do that, their economy will crash. And so that was his idea. But see, it wasn't a pure idea, because it started with the idea of big government, and we wanted them to buy our products or pay tax, buy our products, pay tariffs and taxes so we can have big government. Because government would meet our needs, supposedly, according to concept, instead of God meeting our needs.
Right.
And when you're looking at a society where the church is in rebellion, it does, you know, maybe God's going to do by force what we won't do by choice. But what we do is we preach the gospel, and then people's hearts begin to change, and then they begin to take care of the poor, and they begin to give to God, and they stop, you know, robbing from the Lord and all those different things. And so the answer is, yeah, it takes a big turnaround. The turnaround is not big government for America. The turnaround is for preachers to begin to preach the gospel. But first, you know, we have to repent. We have to deal with our own sin. And then we have to say, you know, we got to begin to preach Jesus. I mean, even David did this. When David was caught in his sin, he said, you know, you're crushed my bones. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. My sin is ever before me. But he said, if you'll forgive me, if you'll cleanse me, then I'll go teach other people your ways. Listen, it's got to begin somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to begin somewhere. And sad to say, it's going to begin with us fallen people. You know, it's got to stand up at some point and say, from this point on, by God's grace, we're going to turn this nation around by preaching the gospel. But he started the League of Nations, and they turned down the League of Nations, the whole concept. A lot to that. You got to hear it. You got to go to VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and get it. But the, with that, World War II happened. When World War II happened, they immediately said, listen, let's bring Woodrow's idea in here. And that's when they kicked off what's called the United Nations today. But the blueprint of that was the League of Nations done by Woodrow, who wanted big government.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're faced with things that we're reportedly hearing and allegedly being said that everything's a global market now.
Mm-hmm.
And so global market requires global government because you're bound by your own sovereign territory, so you can't go and rule somebody else's. So all of a sudden, this League of Nations that didn't exist, this United Nations that didn't exist until somebody wanted big government, how much bigger is big government? God's saying, great, you want big government? Woodrow, you want big government? Mr. American leader, you want big government? We'll give you world government.
Mm.
We'll give you the United Nations, and you'll be in your grave, and many will suffer because you turned to government. And now the United Nations is a huge government entity, global government entity, that allegedly right now they're even talking about, well, who's going to regulate this government, global government? Who's going to, this global economy, not global government, global economy. And who's going to, oh, I know, we'll just let the United Nations collect a tax on the internet usage since it's a global network. We'll tax the internet.
Hmm.
You talking about the U.S. Postal Service? What about the U.N. Postal Service?
Wow.
That's Isn't huge. That crazy?
Yeah, that's big.
That's the future. That's the future unless we repent, unless we're willing to live with small government and we're willing to live with what God gives us. And if people don't like us because we stand up for God and we say that we're one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty for all, and that we're not going to allow your government to come in here and change our government, then, and you're not going to trade with us because of that, then hey, sayonara, bubby. You know what I'm saying? But that's a big one because then we'd have to give up money. So I'm saying that is, I think I really hear the Lord speaking, you know, that when the whole world would say, now, 1918, when did this happen? It happened in 1918. You mean during Woodrow's administration, then the stock market closed down for 2 days? Very interesting. And the flood that's coming, and it's, I mean, of all the things to call this hurricane, is sandy soil. It's sandy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we didn't build our, America's no longer built on the rock, as our president said. We're no longer a Christian nation. But now we're a sandy nation.
Mm.
I remember we were sitting with Ian Skelly's parents, and we were talking about China. They're Chinese missionaries.
Right.
And they said the unity in China is best described as everybody's like sand.
That's right.
Everybody's sand. There's no unity at all. They've created such an environment, and this is what the enemy wants to do, is to break off every form of unity, marriage, family, community, state, national, no unity at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in control. Once everybody's paranoid of everybody and nobody trusts anybody, and that's what China's like, then all of a sudden, you know, the government takes control. But in Christ. Remember, we are called to be one in Christ. He says, Father, may they be brought into complete unity so the world will know that you love me. I love them the way that you love me, he said.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. And so the enemy's going to say, don't have any unity in the church. Don't have any unity with Christians. Why? Because something supernaturally happens, according to John 17, when Jesus talks about it. Then when we do get together and we stick together and we love each other, that's our greatest witness. That's our greatest witness to the world. And that's why the enemy fights unity so hard, because if we get together with one God, one Lord, one Spirit, you know, one love, then it just supernaturally, the world says, you know, God loves me as much as he loves his son, Jesus Christ, as much as he loves his son, Jesus Christ. Think about it. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so obviously it's going to be a hard thing to do, but here we are today with United Nations sitting right there in New York. I'm thinking that maybe it's wet.
Yeah, a little bit.
With the hurricane surge. The financial district is what got flooded. I was wondering, would God say, okay, I'll give them a big clue. I'm going to give them a big clue. I'm going to take my finger and I'm going to thump the Statue of Liberty and that puppy's going to fall over into the water. Maybe that'll help him out. Because it's just a hollow, empty, you know, metal frame, lead. No, I don't know what it is. I forget. The copper. Yeah, she's not a green dress. That's actually just some sort of. Anyway.
Yeah.
But understand that would have been a huge sign to all of us. My concern is once that happened, maybe it's a different time. I don't want to go into that. But listen. Sandy soil. He that builds his house on the sand, when a storm comes, what happened? The storm came. He's letting us know we're having all these forewarnings of what we can turn. This is all opportunities for us to go, you know, and I'm reading, just casually reading Lamentations. You know? It starts off like, oh my God. And it just goes, oh. And you, when you read it, you're seeing the people that's so in touch with their sin. They say, I know, man, we've been evil. We've been bad. We've been, oh my goodness. Will you ever, you know, turn your way to us again, God? And it's like, but come on now. Why did it take Babylonian captivity for Israel to get that?
Right.
And it was like, he was warning you way back here. Jeremiah, every time Jeremiah opened his mouth, you're locking them up, throwing them in wells. You're throwing stones down there in a well. There's nowhere to run when you're in a well and somebody's throwing rocks at you.
Yeah, right.
You know, one rock hurts. I can imagine what stones being chunked down on top of you. And it's like that was God warning Israel to turn back to him. And all this is God wanting us to turn back to him.
Hmm.
Think about it. And these are loving warning signs. To saying, listen, see how fragile you are? See how delicate life is. See how your money disappears overnight in a few hours. $200 million is gone.
Mm.
Do you see how fragile it is? You see your power is over. Your subways are flooded. Your financial district's closed down for 2 days. Hadn't happened in 94 years. It's like the mercies of God. I mean, it's like, see, I can let you guys have this. I mean, if you'll turn to me, if you'll quit seeking prosperity and begin to seek my kingdom, then I'll give you prosperity back. But you're not going to have prosperity because it's a byproduct of you seeking me.
Right.
And so we got to turn and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. These are, I mean, tsunamis and earthquakes on our west coast at the same time. We have snowstorms barreling down from the north, and we have a 1,000-mile-wide hurricane called Sandy, mind you, sandy shores, foundations built on sand. He said, he that hears the word of God and doesn't put it into practice is like a man who builds his house on the sand. Mm-hmm. When the storm comes, it falls with a great crash because he built his house on the sand.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who hears the word of God and puts it into practice is a man that builds his house on the rock. When the storm comes, yes, the same storm hits you. But the difference is you stand.
Mm-hmm.
The winds will crash against it. The water will crash against it. These things will happen, just like we just saw with Sandy. But you'll stand because God's able to make those stand who rely and build their life upon Him. It's not just going to church. It's actually knowing what God says and doing it. He that hears what the word of God and puts it into practice is a man who builds his house on a rock. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you with all these signs around us. Understand it's a loving Father saying, listen up. Listen up. I love you so much. I love you so much. I want you to turn back to me and I will use minimum force necessary. Minimum force necessary to get your attention. But it will escalate. It will escalate. When John Paul Jackson prophesied about this hurricane, I believe, he talked about one that was like 1,000 miles wide or something. How wide was it?
Yeah.
A thousand miles. 1,000 miles wide. He said it. Go back into VFN Torch. Go to Perfect Storm. Go to VFN TV. You can watch the Elijah Storm. You can hear it firsthand. And prophecy is telling you what's going to happen in the future now. Mm-hmm. And you need to start listening now so that you know and you'll be on the right side of history when it comes to eternal life, because it's appointed once to die and then the judgment. We have to answer for, like, oh, I built my house in the sand. I didn't do anything you said. And he says faith without works is dead. So hearing is not enough. We have to be hearers and doers. We'll be right back.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Steve, Pat, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I've had two experiences when it comes to reading the Bible. I've read the Bible before, mm-hmm. and it was like a dictionary.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense. Right. Couldn't understand it.
Right.
And after one page, I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then I've had another experience.
Yeah.
And that's when I spent time abiding with God.
Big difference.
That the Bible literally has come alive. Mm-hmm. That which with each word as I read, each verse, I just sense God's presence with me. Mm-hmm. I sense that He's speaking to me. And I find that His word gives me direction. It gives me the light that I need. I tell you, if you've read the Bible before and you're struggling, because it just doesn't make sense, maybe you don't know where to start, I want to encourage you to get a plan at iabide.org. It's a plan, a very simple plan. It's going to help you to have an abiding relationship. What does that mean? That means that you're going to find a set time, a set place, where you're just not going to try to study the Bible, because you can't study the Bible. It's not a tutorial. Mm. It's not a textbook. It's a living book that comes with the author. And you're going to have an opportunity to sit and engage God, and He's going to engage you. iabide.org, where you can learn to hear the voice of God.
Well, you know, I do want to say this morning to encourage you that VFN TV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions, and I know you already like it. It's got the, when you turn on your or open your VFN TV 3.0 app, you're going to have the recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFN TV, VFN Radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened? will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series.
Mm-hmm.
And series, you just touch it, and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, which also original intent and wisdom moments and
prophetic words.
Prophetic words, and those are series that it has right there. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that thing about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetized. But then at the bottom, you can choose live, like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store, and type in VFN TV. It's VVictor FN TV, and you download the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program app, and it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom, and we need to build our relationship now so we're understanding each other, and we can trust each other and realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king as his kingdom and the safety of his people. I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today, what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the Data Radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium,
when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel's coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just for like $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. Joining me for this next half hour is Pat Hamilton. And I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Here we are. I mean, we did talk about Hurricane Sandy and the interesting thing of the New York Stock Exchange being closed down. Hadn't happened in 94 years. Just happened to be Woodrow, the foundation builder for the United Nations, which I believe he had a lot of input on when he was doing it. I don't know if you heard this or not, but it's a tragedy took place Monday in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas.
Yeah.
And it was tragic. A pastor, Danny Kirk Sr., mm-hmm. Based on what's being reported by ABC News, was in his parking lot, and some guy, and they don't know how he's related to him or anything of that nature, mm-hmm. but comes up and takes his car and rams it into the church building where they gather over there.
Wow.
The building. And it was around, I think, 7 a.m. maybe yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then starts basically reportedly running after the pastor.
Right.
He runs into the building to get away from this crazy man. Then somehow this guy grabs like an electric guitar and beats this pastor to death and kills him.
Mm-hmm.
And his flock, the people that are in his church gathering, are talking about, you know, this is a man of integrity. I mean, he wore, like, you know, sweatshirts and stuff because he's, you know, always wanted to be there to help them out and paint their houses and move things. And they're just devastated.
Mm-hmm.
And they, when they got, the police got there, he was beating this pastor with his electric guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And they were using the taser guns on him. And they arrested him and took him to wherever they took him. But when he arrived there, he died.
Mm-hmm.
The suspect died. And it's like, what's going on?
Crazy.
Listen, church, we have to begin to start praying for protection for all of God's people. And the biggest protection, we want to, first of all, you know, pray for the members of that particular church gathering in Fort Worth, Texas, that, you know, God would just comfort them. And it's called Sweet Home Missionary Baptist Church, Greater Sweet Home mm-hmm. Missionary Baptist Church. And right now, Father God, we just ask you to comfort these 800 believers that are there that have lost their shepherd in such a tragic way.
Mm.
And that you would protect them, and that another shepherd would come in their place, and that you would give wisdom, Lord, that we wouldn't be so vulnerable
mm-hmm.
to what's taking place in this culture today. And something's going on. Something's happening. And I can't help but see, JJ, where that when you start seeing God's, when you see the Jews and the Christians under attack, listen, they don't have to be a part of Al-Qaeda. Or they don't have to be a part of some radical Islam. They don't have to be a part of some drug situation. They don't have to be a part of, listen,
if they are held captive by Satan, they're held captive to do his will. Mm-hmm. Paul's writing Timothy. The Apostle Paul writes a letter to Timothy, and he's talking to a spiritual son. And he says, let me tell you a few things, you know, and he's telling him some few things. And we call that 1 and 2 Timothy, but it's a letter he's writing to a mm-hmm. spiritual son. He's saying, listen, there's going to be some people that are held captive by Satan to do his will.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, gently instruct them in hopes that God would grant them repentance. But in that, we understand that no matter who they are, they don't have to know each other. Even members of radical Islam or Al-Qaeda or whatever name they're coming up, Hezbollah, or whatever name they're coming up with nowadays, it's all the same crew in regards to people being held captive by Satan to do his will. And what is Satan's will? Satan's will is to destroy the Jews and the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole human race. Because he hates, you're made in the image, by the way, you're made in the image and the likeness of God. God rejected Satan. But you got to back up a little bit. Well, God was being glorified in heaven, and Satan was over the musical aspect of that, and over the leading worship for God, and mm-hmm. he liked it so much. And this is a common thing that happens with the musical gift, and you find out about it, that people will worship music. They'll worship the artist.
That's right.
And sad to say, a lot of people in the church, you know, will worship musical, the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And the individual allows it to happen. And committees will go out and find the one that people will worship the most to keep people there gathered around that gift.
Right.
It's crazy. And it's like, it's not going to be good, bro, if you let them worship you. Ask Satan.
Right.
Anyway, so he says, you know, I want this glory. I like the fact that people are bowing down to God. I want what he's got. I want people to worship me.
Mm-hmm.
Worship me. Give me treasures. Lay things at my feet. Tell me I'm valuable. Tell me that I did a good job with this music. I want people right. to tell me, I want pat on the back. I want that. Why is God getting all that? And instantly, he led a third of the angels in heaven, led a third of them in rebellion against God in this, and God cast him down to the earth. That's how he got here.
Mm-hmm.
He got here because God rejected him. Now, you're made in the image and the likeness of the one that rejected him. And if you choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you follow God through his son, Jesus Christ, you're going to have eternal life with him. You're going to have what he lost. Mm-hmm. He can't get back what you got.
Mm-hmm.
I would say evilly jealous of you.
Very much.
And if you don't understand this, you're not. Listen, if you're going to try to hang out with somebody who is jealous of you, they may act like flatter you and stuff, but they're going to kill you. That's a jealousy spirit. Jealousy spirit is a murdering spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan is jealous of you because now you got what he lost when he was with God. But he had a chance, but he wanted to be God. He said, I will lift my throne above his throne. Not good. Not good at all. And so when you see today, you know, when you see Christians and Jews under attack, when you see abortion across the world, on a rapid increase, and you say, well, hey, the numbers are coming down a little bit. They're coming down a little bit because now we have a pill to abort children instead of having to go and abort them in the womb with a doctor. You can quietly do it by taking the day after pill or the next day pill, whatever mm-hmm. they call it, Plan B type pill.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have rapidly, now you can imagine it took a lot for somebody to be willing to go to a public place and say, I want to kill my baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Right.
But now you can quietly do it and nobody but God will see that take place.
Right.
So I can imagine what the numbers really are now compared to what they were when you had to publicly go.
Mm.
And so the thing is that are we the fear of man, the fear of God? We got to do what's right because it's right before God. And so we're looking at this whole second heaven strategy going on right now. And I just want to encourage you to get on the right side of history. You know, understand that God has awesome plans in store for you, plans to bless you and to prosper you and to give you things that you didn't even do. I mean, he's supposed to bless you. And we're seeing right now what happened in Dallas-Fort Worth with this pastor. That's ruthless. But then I think about the minister, you know, that was ministering at in Georgia just last week,
right,
where he was there leading a prayer meeting in Georgia, the World Changers gathering there. And this man walks in off the street, takes a gun, and he was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of them. And we know how that is. You know, they say they're one of you, but they're really not one of you. I totally get that. And it happens everywhere because Paul said, I warned you day and night that wolves would come come in among you and come up from among you.
Right.
And so that happens. But the reality is Second Heaven grabbed a hold of this man, held him captive, and walked in there just like what happened to this pastor in Dallas-Fort Worth and shot him in the head. Shot him. I mean, you can find out more about this on the VFN Torch or on in your highlights on your app. But understand this, that, my goodness, this is not good when you have what's happening down in Houston where people are infiltrating the flocks and scattering themselves and standing up. And there's a spirit that says, you know, stop these Christians. Stop these. They're bringing the United Nations in to monitor the elections, you know, in a couple of days. Because they want to monitor conservative Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They feel that the Constitution is restrictive. They are wanting to sign in, and our Secretary of State's already signed in the United Nations, a particular treaty or whatever it says, you know, that you cannot use Muhammad's name, you cannot defame the name of Muhammad. And they want to bring that to America, where America, it's like, That's anti-Jesus. They believe in Jesus. They just believe he's not the Son of God.
Right.
When that means Christ, anti-Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means. And so, listen, this is whole thing, and if you read Lamentations, you can read our future if we don't turn around. I mean, Jeremiah is wondering, why? What's going on? What's happening? You know, why are these things taking place? You know, when you think about today, we can actually look at the future, our future, if we don't repent. We can see it. And what's so cool, what's God doing? God's saying, listen, we just need to turn to him.
Mm-hmm.
We need to turn to him. And we need to say, listen, we got it. Lord, we're sorry. Do like David and just say, you know, we need to stop this. If we really love the sheep as pastors, as shepherds, as church leaders, we would get our lives right, but then we would do what's right with the flock. And it's going to take a lot of pastors. A lot of pastors who are in it for God and for the sheep to protect them and to give them wisdom and to keep them safe. And you can't do that. It's really tough to do in this large situation unless there's a whole bunch of pastors who have autonomy in the context of God can, you'll let God lead them and know what to do with those few sheep to be able to protect them. And so Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
He said, go and imitate me. And maybe, sir, you're more apostolic, and they call everybody a pastor in America. It's like, mm-hmm. just go ahead and just, okay, yeah, it doesn't matter what you,
yeah.
You're a pastor. It doesn't matter. And so, but it's not true. I mean, obviously, some are pastors, some are apostles, some are prophets, some are teachers, Ephesians chapter 4,
mm-hmm.
and et cetera. But understanding that maybe you're apostolic, and you need to start releasing some of those inside of that you're leading to begin to look after a few. Look after a few. I mean, Jethro knew this when he talked to Moses. You know, this is, you know, we're kind of more into the rethinking church here.
Mm-hmm.
But Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses got there and he saw that he was running himself ragged. You know, Moses, you're going to have to break this thing down a little bit and break mm-hmm. it down to smaller. So he put it over hundreds and fifties and really, when you think about it, the maximum that an individual really can be involved in without electronics,
right?
You know, without a secretary of staff, you know, this one, I'll never forget a lot of things. But the this one particular pastor, you know, friend, and he's really wanting to build a relationship with a lot of ministers and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, you know, we need to break down these walls, and we need to be there for each other. We need to get up. As a matter of fact, get up with my secretary and let's make an appointment. I'm thinking, oh, we got such a long ways to go. Granted, your secretary will not get a call from those ministers because mm-hmm. that's not personal relationship. Right. You know, you're only called to be in a relationship. God's only going to hold you accountable for what you're called to do, not what you think you're called to do. And he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? Did you invest it and did you get a return? Well, if you're called to be over, you know, three and you're faithful over the three, so be it. If you're called to be over 12, like Jesus, you know, then you're faithful. If you're called to be over 50, then God's going to, you know, that's the whole, if you're called to be over more than that, you're probably apostolic.
Mm-hmm.
You're apostolic and you need to begin to pray about God giving you a revelation. What does that mean? And study the life of the apostles and see that there was more than 12 apostles, 13 actually, believe it or not. Judas was considered an apostle.
Mm.
And, of course, he didn't turn out well.
No.
Somebody came in amongst them, just like every other, you know, it's what he said. He says, mm-hmm. I warned you day and night that people would come in. Well, that couldn't be. Well, it happened to Jesus's 12.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
It was the treasurer. It was the treasurer. It was the treasurer. And, watch you, musician, and the man, the M and M, the music and the money.
The music and the money.
The music and the
wow.
money. Isn't that interesting?
That is.
And so here we are just thinking about that. So how much safer? Because even though you may feel comfortable when you look at our presidential candidates today and people running for office, they're more like stars. People treat them like stars. Let me get my picture with you. Let me, it's like they're an American that's going to ask you for the permission to lead for a period of time. They're not a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a musician star, whatever you call those guys, but they're just human beings. But it's like all of a sudden now we begin to worship people. You know, I'm gonna get my picture with people, and it's like you're looking. What happens? All these when you see now that you go to C-SPAN, you watch the presidential candidates, for example,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, "Oh, I touched them," and they're like, "Let me get my picture with you." And you got all these iPhones and Android phones out snapping shots and pictures. I just want to get a picture with them.
Right.
I just want to get a picture with them. It's like. Well, you know, you didn't even know him 5 years ago, and now all of a sudden you're worshiping him. It's funny how that works. You know, you don't win the lottery. They don't even know you exist. You win the lottery. Now all of a sudden they want to be with you.
Right.
But it's something in their heart. It's not the individual. It's not the one who won the lottery per se, but it's the one who actually wants to get something from that person.
Right.
They want to be seen with that person. They call it networking, and I call it mooching and leeching.
Right.
Mooching and leeching. And in a matter of fact, we have a word of wisdom, a moment of wisdom on that. But I just want to encourage you this morning as we're looking at all these things happening. You know, it's not enough to know the news, but we need to know what to do with the news that we know. And it's amazing what's taking place. So rethinking church, we're just rethinking, having that conversation that we're continuing on. Then we look what happened in Dallas-Fort Worth with this pastor. We're thinking, you know, this is a wonderful man of God. It appeared. I mean, his fruit is they talk about how he was there for everybody, but how could he be there for 800 people?
Mm-hmm.
They said, you know, he knew our name. He would greet us when we come in, all these different things. And it's like, that's wonderful, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds apostolic because, you know, and he may have had, you know, a lot of different pastors in there. And quite often what they do now, they just call it a deacon.
Right.
You know, but they don't have that free autonomous being able to follow the Spirit in the context of that, why personally being held accountable. And so it's like, my goodness, let's just think about this. We're going into a time and a season where the enemy of our soul, who hates human race, period, that's why he wants to knock off the race before it even catches its first breath mm-hmm. in the womb. He hates and jealous of the Jews and the Christians because now we... have and are going to have and be with forever what he gave up when he sinned in the presence of God. And he let a third of the angels in rebellion against God, and he cast them to the ground. If you study the word, these guys are going to be in chains forever. And then they're going to be thrown into gross darkness. But right now, these angels are held captive in chains.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrific. Well, understand... If we understand evil and understand that this is his plan, it's like, you know what? I'm just going to go with Jesus. I'm not going to try to buy into all these gray areas of doctrine. I'm not going to say, hey, let's just get along, even if I got to get Jesus out of here. I want to stand for Jesus no matter what. And I want to encourage you in your workplace, in your marriage, in your family, in your community, don't apologize for Jesus. Stand boldly for him. And we do it in love. We're not a religious zealot, you know, we're standing up and just saying, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm going to go to somebody soon, because I'm praying for the opportunity, and I heard them speaking such a derogatory term about Jesus. And it just broke my heart.
Mm.
And so I'm going to go, this particular person in business, and I'm going to pull them aside, and I'm going to tell them about the lover of my soul, but also the one that loves them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell them first, you know, I can't believe that you were speaking so negatively against somebody that I love so dearly.
Mm-hmm.
And that it just broke my heart. And I know that how they think about you, they think very good thoughts about you, and they're going to be shocked. They're going to go, well, who was I talking? I'm sorry. Who was I talking about? And I'm going to let them know you were talking about Jesus.
Mm.
He loves you. And I love him too. You broke my heart, you know, when you talked about it. But I just want you to know, I don't want you to misunderstand this, that I come to tell you that he loves you and he's got a plan for your life. Right?
Wow. Good.
Bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you, for these are the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, I can't believe you were talking about my Jesus. And that, it's like, come on, dude, that's not going to do it.
Mm-mm.
The truth is, how come your heart wasn't broken when they talked about the one that you love? And so, yeah, I'm looking for the opportunity to be able to share that with this particular person. And they're held captive there, no. And I know what their, I pretty much can tell you. And I'll tell you what their response is, you know, when I do talk to them. But
right.
The Lord is so good. Here we are. This morning I was reading in the book of Acts. And I love the book of Acts because it's the Acts of the church. And we're going to be bringing on VFN TV soon. As a matter of fact, I think the series are up now. If you go to the VFN TV app and you go to VFN TV, because you got VFN Radio Live and you have all the the different segments and programs. But if you go to VFN TV, you have the series. If you click on series or touch series on your application, then you have some great revelation from the Word that's going to encourage you. You need to hear meaty, meaningful, revelatory truth of God's Word in your life. It will encourage you. It will inspire you. And one is the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ and the dependency factor. This is so important because God has asked us to, listen, Jesus died for us and paid the price for us and for the Father so we can be in relationship with God, because we couldn't do what was required of us to do because of our sin nature. But then he asks us to do what we can't do.
Right.
And expects us to do what we can't do, and then we have eternal consequences for not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, that's exactly where the enemy locks people in quite often. But when you listen to the cross of Christ and dependency factor, this is what he's saying. Let me add the rest of that. But if you do know Jesus Christ, if you have made him the Lord of your life, and you are abiding with him, like he tells us in John 15, he will give you that fruit. He'll give you that empowerment. He'll give you that ability to do what you could never do. He wants to do it through you, but you'll never be able to do it alone. If you stop in the beginning, like I said, right there at that point, and don't realize, listen, if you focus all of your attention and all the glory on what God's did in his finished work on the cross of Christ, you will be empowered. You'll be empowered to live a life totally outside of what you thought you never could do. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. You know, when you think about, you know, John 15, where Jesus says, he tells us, you know, right before he's going to go to be with the Father, he says, all these things basically that I've asked of you, You know, it's impossible to do, to bear fruit. But it can be done. It's possible to do it on your own, but you can do it through the empowerment of Jesus Christ and abiding with him. And he said, my father's the gardener, and he is the vine, and we're the branches. I mean, we all have to work together in this. And, you know, abiding is so important, but it's so easy. So many people have made it so religious that they sing it is, you know, it seems totally impossible, that it's not impossible. That's religion telling you it's impossible. As a matter of fact, I want Jamie to be able to tell you. Jamie is 6 years old, and he abides with the Lord. Just hear it in Jamie's own word. This is what your life should be like when you abide.
My name is Jamie, and I'm from Texas, and I really wish that everyone could figure out the Holy Spirit of God, and if we could follow him, we could probably be good, and God will probably make us gooder. And I think that what will we do if we could figure out if God can give us power, like following him? If we could do that, maybe we can finally figure out the Holy Spirit. And if we have a Bible and we're reading it, you might want to follow it, because it gives you more stuff to follow the Lord. And the Bible, it's what God is wanting you to do. And I think if you follow it, then you would be one of the angels from God.
Jamie is 6 years old. He's abiding with God, and in all we did, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
What did you ask Jubian?
All I asked him, what is your name?
What is your name? What you heard was a young man who's 6 years old who is abiding with the Lord. Listen, it's very simple. Religion's made it difficult. I mean, everybody wants to. You need a simple plan. A simple plan that even a six-year-old can follow. Listen, God loves you, wants to spend time with you. It's not impossible what he's asked you to do, but it's impossible to do it on your own. You can do it with an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to find out more? Go to iabide.org. We have a plan waiting for you, a simple plan waiting for you. It's at iabide.org. Request your plan there, and it'll come to you immediately. Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in this extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Also joining us in lieu of John Paul is Chris Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Give a shout out to all those who experienced the windiness and the sandiness of Hurricane Sandy. Let you know that we are praying for you. We are telling all of our listeners to text Red Cross to 90999 to send $10 quickly. Also, to go to Operation Blessing, that's OB.org, OB.org. It matters how we respond to our fellow citizens and brothers and sisters who have lost property and homes. They need help. Good Operation Blessing at ob.org with Jody formerly Harrington, who heads that up, and will be right on the scene as always. Operation Blessing. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And Chris.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Here we are, moving in the Extra Hour. If you missed the first hour, you need to catch the first hour, as we were talking about beginning, again, the conversation of rethinking church, but also about the New York Stock Exchange and how it's been since 1918, since it's ever been closed down for 2 days in a row, and that just happens to be the founder of the concept of the United Nations. Mm-hmm. President Woodrow Wilson happened to be president during that time. Oh, my goodness. Follow the money, and you'll find out what's happening. That's in law enforcement. They just say, follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
Follow the money, and you'll be really, really surprised to see what's going on. You can find that out in the first hour. Well, man, we are by the way, I saw your quarterback being interviewed on the news.
Uh-huh.
He was real quiet. He wasn't real boastful or anything
like
that.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah, he said, well, and of course, we're talking about, you know, Steelers. we're talking about the Saints and Drew Brees. And he was being interviewed, and he was real quiet.
Yeah.
He's pretty wise.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Sometimes there's times just like...
Just to be low.
And he said, well, this just means that we're going to have to win everything, including the presidency, to make this thing work out. You know, it's just time for us to do what we're supposed to do. You know,
yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
he was just saying, you know, I got a ring already. I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah.
And I got millions of dollars in the account. Nah, boo, boo.
Yeah, right.
Right? And you're buying my T-shirts. You're right. And you're buying my T-shirts. Yeah, I'm glad to see you're getting older now. I see that you have a Saints sweater. No.
Yeah, I do have one of those.
Do you really? Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's a zip-up.
Oh, a mask.
The jacket.
Zipper. That's a mask. Zipper. Yeah. It's a jacket. I'm talking about the one with a couple buttons on the front.
No. That was the one you just had on, wasn't it?
No, that was a... What is that?
That vest.
It's... So what it is?
Didn't have any sleeves.
It didn't. It's pretty cool. It keeps your back when it's freezing cold. Mm-hmm. Man, I tell you, that is really, really nice. We were like 8 days. 8 days, is it? 8 days away from the presidential election, November the 6th?
Yeah. 7 days, isn't it?
7 days away from... Yeah, because it's Tuesday. It's next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And, you know, hundreds of thousands, possibly, obviously millions, are voting across the United States in early voting. This weekend, I believe that the presidential candidate, Governor Mitt Romney, came to the Gulf Coast, the Emerald Coast, and was speaking. I think the last person that came down for President Obama was Michelle Obama, came to the Emerald Coast as well to talk. And man, we're like 7 days away. 7 days away. If you have not yet... begin to look at your ballot. You can go online for whoever your local county is or your city that runs your elections, and they have sample ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get it off online, and you can begin to look at it. These ballots are long, but I know in Florida there's Roseanne Barr. Roseanne Barr. You know who Roseanne Barr is?
Yeah.
Yeah. The bar was lowered really low.
Yeah, really low.
That she is on the ballot in Florida for president. Roseanne Barr is on the ballot in the state of Florida. She's running for president.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Insane.
And so we need to vote. You need to show up.
Please
you
vote.
Need to show up. I was talking to somebody recently, and they're looking at me like, there's no way. there's no way. You got to read it because there's like maybe 10 people that are actually running for, it depends on your state, but in Florida, I think maybe it's 10 that's on the ballot that are running for president, and she's one of them. And we need to make sure that we're values voters. We vote for values. What is God's values? We find that out in the Word of God. We want to vote for the candidate who seeks God, who knows God, who follows God's ways. And if this person doesn't know God, then we want to vote for the candidates that will allow us to continue to know God, and follow His ways. The most conducive candidate that allows us the First Amendment rights to be able to freely preach the gospel in our nation. You know, don't automatically just throw the election out with the bathwater when you don't have a Christian candidate. Remember, this is not a theocracy in America. It is a democracy and a republic form of government, a representative government, that allows us that individually have our rights to say and do whatever we feel led to do, as long as it doesn't harm someone else or, you know, take from someone else. And we don't want to give that up because that gives us the freedom to preach the gospel of the kingdom. So if you have two people running for an office, for example, and neither one of them know God, but one of them is for the Constitution. They're constitutionalists. They believe in the founding fathers' viewpoint of the Constitution, and they are totally for, you know, the First Amendment rights, which is the government must make no laws concerning the church or religion. Or the gathering of people, which means you couldn't gather outside of that. You have to get a license before you can gather. But the First Amendment allows you to do that. And the freedom of the press is, which you're not really using it lately, but at any moment now, if you start using this First Amendment press, we sure would appreciate it.
Yeah, right.
And start investigating our leaders, our Washington, that would be very helpful right now. But we have two candidates that don't know God, but one of them is a constitutionalist. They're a good American. They have a loyalty to America. They have a history of standing with America, standing for the American people. That would be the police officer that you'd want come into your house. That they would be the soldier that you want fighting beside you. You know, those kind of values. You know, understand that's who you want to, that somebody that has your values, that's who you want to be able to vote for, somebody that has your same value system, who stands for that, you know, and don't just say, oh, because, you know, this person's not a Christian. Listen, there's people that go to gatherings all over the place where the word church is on the outside of the wall.
Yeah, right.
That don't necessarily know, everybody in there don't know God. And you can read the letters to the church in Revelation, to the church, mind you, in Revelation, where he talks to the seven churches. There was people there who walked away from God or didn't know God in the context of that. He wasn't writing to the world. And so it's okay to vote. Go vote. Go vote and vote the most conservative vote that you can in regards to your values, that God values life. Understand this, that we have a Supreme Court that's appointed by our president, whoever our president is. So whoever's going to be president in the next 4 years is probably, they say, is going to appoint two Supreme Court justices, which right now, and hopefully will change this, they rule for life. But I don't know where all this, the root of this is, that they could be impeached at a moment's notice. And it's like, you can actually curse the Constitution and tell people to avoid it in another nation and still be the Supreme Court justice.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy when you actually swore an oath to protect and defend it. But here we are. We're 7 days away. We're a few days away. Whenever you're listening, you're 7 days away, where America is going to, and the world is leaning forward to find out which way it's going, where America's going to go. And a lot of the world's saying, "What are you doing, America? Why are you giving this up?" And I was sitting talking to a Korean War vet, and he was in Korea in 1951. And that's when they were fighting for their freedom, and now you have North and South Korea. And American soldiers went and laid their lives down to be able to give freedom to South Korea. And so South Koreans are now going back, and they're bringing these soldiers who fought for their freedom back to South Korea to honor them. And they said they treated us like royalty. And he said because of our age, he's 80. He said because of our age, they had an ambulance and a police, something like a fire truck, following our bus as they took us around. But they put us in the nicest hotels.
These are American soldiers?
These are American soldiers being brought back to South Korea by South Koreans to honor them for giving them the freedom that they have in the democracy that they have today and the free enterprise that South Korea has today. And he was almost in tears because he said, this man who fought for our country, and many are today, that he's just blown away of how we're about to lose what so many people died to give us, that America's about to lose this. His name was Mr. Thompson. And I was so impressed about South Korea because they took our vision, our dream of freedom and democracy and the free enterprise and capitalism, and they took it. And now they're the ones, by the way, that's probably building your refrigerator. They're the ones building your telephone. That's where particular appliances, I can't think of the names, come from right now. But all these high-end appliances that they say are very nice, that they come from South Korea.
Oh, wow.
It's such a digital culture there. They're so cutting edge. They're cutting edge. Some of the nicest, most beautiful highways and all this, that the children are getting addicted. They're getting addicted to games, like digital games, to the point where they have therapy and like you have an alcoholic would go through Anonymous. They have like Digital Anonymous or something.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, everything is just like futuristic. And it's like we delivered to them in the 50s a freedom that we started giving up ourselves in the 50s.
And that's something.
We delivered to them, to South Korea, freedom. We gave them our dream. We gave them our vision. We share with them our founding father's dream, and we fought for them to have it. And they're grateful because look what they're doing. And then we came back to our own country for them to be spit on, these soldiers to be spit on, to be criticized all the way up through Vietnam. I was talking, I had another veteran to the right side of me, and he was talking about when he came back from Vietnam, the Viet Cong, that the people spit on him, come off the plane. They said you couldn't wear your uniform because people were in the streets and rioting and all this kind of stuff. And here he was fighting for our country, fighting, trying to do the very same thing that South Korea is very grateful for. And Americans were spitting on their fellow Americans for wearing the uniform. And this was in the 60s. So I had the 50s on one side of me and the 60s in the other, and God was speaking to me. I really believe he was. And I was like, my goodness, it makes you just want to go where people appreciate capitalism and democracy and the freedom. And and South Korea, with us, that's Young Yi Cho's situation that's there as well. And I mean, it's amazing. Think about it. So here we are. We carried it and fought for it, for them to have it, and they took it and they ran with it, only for us to come back to watch, for him, Mr. Thomas to come back and watch America start to give it up from the 60s when all the things started happening in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And now here we are at with literally a leader that appears to be bringing in the contradiction of who we are into our nation, into our country. It's just, and he's broken hearted. He's like, we're gonna lose this thing. He said in all of his life, he's never felt so close, you know, to losing what that everybody had fought for. And there's another particular man that's sitting with us, and he's wearing the American flag tie and those kind of stuff, but he was missing it. He just missed it.
Right.
And he's talking about just vote, just vote, just vote. I was like, well, no, you need to think about it before you. But it's not just voting. It's get educated, you know, know what you're doing. It's not just voting. It's knowing, do you believe in the Constitution? Do you believe in the foundation that was laid for this country? And understand, it could not happen outside of God, because God says, I'll lift a nation up and I'll take a nation down. And he decided in his infinite wisdom to lift up America and to use it as a sign to the world that if God is your God and you have the freedom to worship God, they'll choose Jesus. They'll choose God. And then now the things have been creeping in since, you know, the 1918 and all the things that have been happening in our school systems, and we've been turning things over. It's been a gradual plan to take us down. But you know what? I believe that we can turn around. It's going to be rough, but we can turn around and we can decide this is the nation that we want to be. It's our nation. Mm-hmm. It's our nation. It's a nation. It's like I saw this man. He was wearing the Packers. He's wearing the Packers hat. Mm-hmm. He had a Packers jacket. Mm-hmm. He had Packers Froggers on, those plastic shoes or whatever, but they're like Packer Cloggers or whatever they are. You know, those plastic light shoes or something mm-hmm. that Chris wears. And because I like, you're a Packers fan? And of course he said, yeah.
How'd you know?
How'd you know? And I asked him the big question. You know, the big question always is, right? Are you one of the owners? Because it's the only privately owned or owned
publicly owned
team where you can buy stock and you can own part of it. And he goes, yes, I did. He bought a part of the team. And you can decide the future of the team because you're part of the owners. Mm-hmm. And so America, that's how we are. You are part of the owners. If you're an American citizen, you have a dog in this race. Mm-hmm. You have a vote. You have a mouth. You have a constitution. You know, if you know the Lord, you got Jesus. And we can begin to stem. So you know what? We don't like what we did with it, but it is ours, so we can do a house cleaning. We can begin to say, you know, begin by God's grace, the empowerment that comes through the grace of God to say, you know, we want this once again to be known as a Christian nation. Let people kick and scream. So what? Mm-hmm. We want to be known. We have African nations right now that are standing up. I believe it was South Sudan, maybe. They stood up and said, we are going to be a Christian nation. And God begins to bless these different nations that do this. I can't tell you. I don't think it's South Sudan. But they stand up. The leaders stand up and say, we want to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. Oh, and Lord of this nation. And we can do that again. America, we can do that again. We can quit believing the lies of trying to rewrite our history that this is actually how we were founded. They just had no idea how far man could go using an elastic interpretation of a living, breathing constitution, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, right. But we can change that again. We can grab a hold of this. The original intent of this country and the original intent of, listen, we could be the church freely in America.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're 7 days away. We got some choices laying before us here, and it's going to take the church doing what's right personally. But in the context of that, if we do, though, God says, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal the land. And this, if a turmoiled nation in Africa that's fought bloodshed, evil things that were going on in some of these nations where genocide was taking place and just factions were going on with just great murder and bloodshed, they come to the end of themselves and they say, listen, we want God to be God of this nation. We want Jesus to be known as the Lord of this nation. If they can do that, we can too.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that too. We can follow their lead and say, listen, we've sinned against you, God.
All right.
You know, we've done wrong before you. We've tried to change what was laid solidly as a foundation that's before you. And we took it, trying to make it adopt to our gods and rejecting you in our life and said, we don't want that. And not only begin to put God's name back in the courthouses, back on our money, back in our schools, but begin to literally put him everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody would come to America and say, well, your God is God and your Lord is Jesus Christ. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
And if Benjamin Netanyahu can stand up, because we're a Judeo-Christian country, that's where we come from. That's where all of our laws come from. And if Benjamin Netanyahu can stand up and say, we know that there was a day that nations stood with us and we could trust nations, or especially America, but now all we know that we have Christians standing for us. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to be against, the Jews are not going to be against us standing up in America and saying, listen, we want to be a Judeo-Christian country. We want to honor God in our country. And we want to honor our Jewish brothers and sisters in our nation. And we want to honor our Christian brothers and sisters in the nation, and we want to honor, and within the context of our Constitution, those who are not believers to be able to say, hey, God loves you, God's got a plan for your life, but don't change our Constitution.
Right.
And if you want a different Constitution, go find your country and draft one up.
Mm-hmm.
Why take this one down? You know, look at a lot of us, like somebody says, I'm driving a Ford. Well, Don't change my Ford. Don't break the letters of Ford off my car. Go buy you a Chevrolet. I mean, why are you going to do away with our particular car?
All right.
So I just want to encourage you that we were 7 days away. I think it's very significant that 7 days away from the election that a hurricane 1,000 miles wide named Sandy is coming our way, coming over the financial district, right there at Battery Park, right there where the Twin Towers were hit, right there where the Freedom Tower is going up, and getting our attention. And he's getting our attention to say this: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then he, God, the creator of all, who holds all things together, who loves you and has a plan for your life, will hear from heaven and heal your land. We'll be right back.
John, have you had a chance to check out Vine Fellowship Network at University?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my goodness. VFNU. I just want to encourage you that, you know, if you've received Jesus in your life and you want to know more and you feel that God is just calling you to go deeper in him, to just, you know, there's a call upon your life. You know, there's a reason that you're a part of this generation and you're asking yourself, how? If you're asking yourself, how do I do this? I just want to encourage you, go and check out VFNU.org. You know, God's got a plan for your life and you play an integral part of this generation. You play an integral part and God has a plan to use you. And you can find out more of what God has in store for you. Find out more at VFNU.org. Dude, John, I was opening up my mail the other day, and I got an offer to subscribe to a magazine. Check this out. They wanted $25 a month. Not a year, a month.
Hey, $25 a month. Come on. Are you sure?
That didn't even get a second look. I was like, no. Like, $25? Trash. That's where that went. I was like, that ain't jiving, you know?
I bet. $25.
Not gonna work. But get this. Did you know that what you can subscribe for free?
What?
VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber. You get more content, you get the downloads, you get to see more of what is not heard, more of what's not talked about on the daily VFN radio program. Check it out. VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber. You know, I began to learn a lot of things about building, you know, spending time with Pat. Yeah. The more time I'm actually spending with Pat, the less time I'm actually putting Band-Aids on my thumbs from, like, hitting the hammer and trying to build some. And I'm learning a lot from him. I remember when we were working on, one of the projects we were doing, he pulls out his iPhone. And I'm like, an iPhone while we're working, while we're building stuff, middle hammer, 2x4. And he was checking the level of a 2x4. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I got an app for that. I'm like, get out of here. He's like, yeah, he has a level as an app on his iPhone.
Are you kidding me? A level?
Yeah.
On the phone. And what is the level? Is that the balancing thing?
Yeah, because, I don't know, apparently he had, like, left a level in the truck or left a level at the house. And there it is, like, the bubbles and everything, the lines. He was checking the level of the 2x4. Off his iPhone. And we start talking, and he says, yeah, I mean, have you checked out the new app for the VFN TV, VFN Daily Radio program? And I was like, there's an app for that? He's like, yeah, there's an app for that. He says, you can go right on iTunes right now, and you can also go on the Android, because Android has it now too. You can go on VFN TV, type it in, and there's an app for that. Click download, and everywhere you go, you got us right there with you. You got all the live content. You've got all the live programming. You've got everything right there. It's like VFN TV on the go.
I've heard this once. I've heard it too many times. When I run into someone and they tell me, I just don't want to be a part of a crowd. I just don't want to be part of another group. I don't want to be another number.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go to an event. Mm. I want to experience God.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy fellowship with God's people, and I want to grow. I want to be a true disciple. Mm-hmm. I want to learn of his ways. I want to abide with him and spend time with him, and I want to hear God for myself. I'm no longer interested in being a spectator, but I want to get in the game.
Yeah.
I want to fulfill the great commitment. I want to fulfill the great commission, but I just don't see where I fit in the crowd. If that's you and you have a longing to fulfill the call of God in your life, if you have a longing just to truly be what God's called you to be, a son and daughter of God, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to be a part of a family that's not just spectating and watching others do it, but are actually doing it together, I want to encourage you, find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with Next Step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on
a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. First, I want to say, you know, John, how you did a wonderful job hosting you and Pat. I appreciate what you guys did. I was so encouraged by hearing, you know, in my time away, I'm listening, you know, to the encouraging words that are shared, and oh my goodness, there's so many important things, you know, shared on VFN radio. You know, you hear so many. I mean, I don't know. I guess God just turned the whole media thing over to the adversaries. Just like, you know, no, they turned it over to, like, I think Romper Room or something. It's like, are you guys serious? I mean, come on.
For real.
Do you all know how ignorant this sounds? It does. There's this one, you know, years ago, there was this minister years ago on radio, and a friend of mine tells me about him. He says, we're country minister, you know, and he said, you know, when I first started ministry years and years ago, he says, I thought I was ignorant. But since then, after I've been in the Lord for a while, I just feel ignorant. I'm telling you, that's pretty profound, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I used to know some stuff. You know, I used to fight for a lot of things, but now, I mean, I don't fight for too much, but the things I do fight for, I will die for. But, you know, hey, they got to work it out. You know, pick your leg up, put it back on. We're going to make it. It's going to happen. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I am Greg, and joining me is Pat and Chris for the last part of the Extra Hour. Ignorer and ignorer and ignorer. Isn't it amazing? It's just so amazing. As life goes on, you start thinking, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? And it's just a way of, I believe the Lord just allows us to be humbled. And and I remember, I think it was T.D. Jakes that said, you know, he's from West Virginia.
Yeah.
He don't bring that up much anymore, but he's from West Virginia. And when God started bringing him up and putting him on the public stage, that he said, he started thinking about all those things he taught back then. And he said, I'm paraphrasing, can you go get those tapes and just destroy them?
Yeah, burn them.
It is amazing. You know, one thing, people talk about the presidential tapes, you know, the presidential tapes and, you know, everything that's being recorded. But listen, if you are a minister in America, everything you've ever said, it seems like you is documented.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, everybody's on tape in heaven, by the way. Everybody's being documented. He has many, 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 many gigabytes.
Yeah, many hard drives.
And we will be appointed. It's appointed time when we will stand before the throne of God. And every word that we said or didn't say, you know, we will be judged by that. And that's why you want to make it right now at the cross. Lord, forgive me for those words that I did or didn't say.
Mm.
And every deed we did or didn't do. And what he says. This is Jesus. And so what we do is say, hey, I'm going to go to the cross now. I'm going to make it right. And one of the benefits of having everything recorded and made public is like the old thing that says, the guy that says, you know, when I'm, you know, 85 years old, I'm going to run for a political office. And and somebody says, why would you want to do that? And he says, well, you know, my memory will be fading, and I'm sure I've done something wrong that I won't remember. And I found out if you run for political office, they'll let you know. They'll let you know. And anything they bring up, I'll just repent for it. So that way, when I go to meet God, I would have made it right.
Right,
you know,
right,
something,
right. Or they'll just make something up.
Or that, yeah. Or like, hey, repent for all that too. Just get it all ready to go. And I thought it was pretty funny. Pretty funny. Good way to look at it. By the way, if you decide to run for political office, it's just like saying you decide you're going to play on a football team. Yes, you want to win the game. But realize, as the New Orleans Saints has realized,
You don't win them all, but you show up on the field to win. Mm-hmm. And so many people won't try to run for political office, good people, because they don't understand that's if you're going to get in the game, you might lose. But at least you could have won. I mean, even the Saints won once.
Mm-hmm.
Once, but they didn't just start yesterday. They've been going since the day they were making paper bags. They've been around for a long time. And understand that we got to be willing to lose. It's okay. They've changed the way that that looks in society. But the truth is, the day you decide to play on the NFL, is there's only going to be one team that wins the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
which means every other team and every other player didn't. But it was because they did that, the best, the cream of the crop came up.
That's right.
So the political, understand when you get into this, the political room, say, I want to be a leader. I want to run for a county commissioner. I want to run for sheriff. I want to run for city council or school board or governor or Congress or state or president, whatever it is, that if you tell yourself right up front and all the people that you're talking to stand with you, they say, listen, this is my values. This is what I stand for. But realize we want to tell you up front now that we could win and we couldn't win. The mm-hmm. question is what we stand with for and what our values are. Are we going to still have those at the end of this race? Are we right. still going to believe the same things that we believe? Are we still going to walk with God as we were walking with God? Or are we going to sell out on the way because all of a sudden it started off with our values and ended up with just trying to get the office?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people start out standing right, but they sell out just to get there. And, you know, when you think about All the King's Men, what mm-hmm. Willie Stark said in that old 1949 movie, he said, good comes out of evil.
Mm.
And that's not true.
Right.
Good comes from God. The only one's good's God. So I just want to encourage you that know this, that it's not a negative thing for you to want to, hey, I want to be on the school board. I want to be, I want to stand up for what I believe in and what's right and begin to run. We need people that run for values. We need people on the school boards that believe in the value of life.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're not going to be okay with a school nurse telling children that you got to go call your parents if you take this aspirin, but you don't have to call them if you're going to abort your child.
I know.
So, but if you have a school board who loves God, you mm-hmm. see, if you're on the school board and you stand up in front of everybody and you say, that you're the voice going, listen, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Your community's going to get around you. If everybody on that school board is against you, the majority of those people in that community, when they see you stand up on your local TV, whatever they ever had broadcast newspapers will probably cover it. You'll mm-hmm. find out the majority of those people in that community will stand with you. And the rest of that board, who's only worried about power and position, they will have to either bow down to the representative government, the people that they represent, or they'll be voted off.
Mm-hmm.
One person can change an entire school system.
Right.
But you need somebody, maybe it's you, to run for school board. Well, I'm not smart enough. Listen, if you know God and you abide with God and you love the children and you want to see them do well and you know the Constitution, go for it. Mm-hmm. We need some people who have some common sense over this. Because all these guys, and there's nothing against, education is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give up common sense in the midst of it, that's not good. Or if you're trying to get educated enough where you get common sense. I'm taking common sense 101. Hey, it don't work. It's got to come from wisdom. Speaking of wisdom, today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 through 9. This wisdom moment is so important because it's a time when we say, you know what? All the knowledge in the world without wisdom, which is the proper application of this knowledge, is useless.
Mm-hmm.
It only puffs up. So we want wisdom. We want God to give us wisdom. I hope today, as you're listening, that this wisdom is going to pour over you, because I really believe Proverbs 30, 7 through 9 reveals a lot about where we are as a nation, where we are as a people. Proverbs 30, 7 through 9 says, two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehoods and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and still and so dishonor the name of God. Is that powerful?
That is.
That's so powerful. The writer of this proverb shares with us some great wisdom. Trying to keep the air from us, from touching us, is near impossible.
Right.
Swimming in the ocean and trying to keep water away from us is impossible. Living in the world where Satan has his throne, who is not only a liar, but the father of lies, as Jesus describes him, and his children, those who are held captive by him, spread his lies, is just as is impossible to keep away from all of his lies.
Mm-hmm.
But with God, all things are possible. Our Lord can keep lies, falsehoods, away from us when we ask him and abide with him and say, Lord, keep falsehoods from me. The wisdom, this particular wisdom that I'm talking about right now, blows the American dream of riches out of the water and exposes it for what it is. Don't give me riches or poverty, he asked the Lord. He asked the Lord to give him just enough to live a satisfied life where his needs are met. He exposed what riches quite often do to a man as he shares, I might have too much and otherwise disown you, and say, who is the Lord?
Mm.
Isn't it amazing when you see so many people desperate for work and desperate for a job because the job will provide the money, and they turn, they say, listen, pray for me. I need a job. I need a job. I need money. And they see God answer them when you pray for them, and God gives them a work. And all of a sudden you come up to them. Now they're comfortable. Now they have their money. Now they're getting paid. Now they've got their job and their house, their car and stuff. They say things like, I don't know God. No. Who is this Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Over and over again. Jesus said this, it's easier to go through the eye of a needle, which is a narrow gate that people had to walk through turning sideways to get into the city. It's easier to go for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. Paul tells his spiritual son Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's time to be contented. Listen, we're in the top percentage of the world, America, for we brought nothing into this world, he goes on to tell Timothy, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we can be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation, into a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. I mean, this is what the writer of Proverbs is talking about. And Paul's confirming, he says, for the love of money, he's talking to Timothy, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, eager to get rich, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So the wisdom, this particular wisdom from this proverb is ringing even all the way to the time of Paul and Timothy when he said, it still stands. This wisdom still stands. Jesus even clearly tells us chasing after riches or money is not a God chaser. If you chase after money, if you chase after riches, you're not chasing after God. And we're called to be God chasers, serving God. He tells us in Matthew 22:25, he says, no one can chase after or serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Listen, chasing riches, you know, when it's all about your job, it's jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer about God who gives you the job. Then the writer of Proverbs says, listen, and don't give me poverty. Don't give me poverty. He said, I may become poor and still dishonor the name of God. Oh, that we would have that revelation today, that people would understand that when we do wrong before others, we are dishonoring him. This is important to know because when poverty comes upon a person or a people, the same tempter that tempted the man who was eager for money to fall into all kinds of temptations will also tempt that poor man or poor people that are in poverty to do things that dishonor God by being tempted to steal or to be untruthful about things, clothing, to be able to get clothing, food, and water, mm-hmm. to be able to steal. And so by God, we're asking God, God, don't give us poverty, because poverty may tempt us, our own sin nature, to do things that would dishonor you. And don't make us so rich that we turn from you, because that'll tempt us. Give mm-hmm. us just, that number's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can't be trusted with $100, and some people can be trusted with $100,000.
All right.
She said, don't give me poverty, but Jesus plainly tells us in Matthew chapter 6, about this, about what, how do we do this? How do we get into this place, this sweet spot of not too much and not too little? He says, listen, in Matthew 6:25, this is what Jesus says. The Son of God says this. He says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies or the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like any of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Key faith, key faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? He says, for the pagans, people who don't know God, who are serving other gods, the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you have need of these. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. How to live that life in the midst of what this proverb, this wisdom moment is saying? Listen, go after God. Be a God chaser. Find out what God says. You know, he says, trust him. Become a God chaser. Chase after his kingdom, his way of doing things, his righteousness, and he'll take care of you. I mean, Psalms 37:25 tells us, I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread.
Mm-hmm.
But that's us going after God. That's not us just saying, I know Jesus and he's going to take care of me, but living for the devil.
Right.
Jeremiah 29:11. Listen, God has good plans in store for you. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. When we do right by God, he does right by us. When we are faithful to God, guess what? He's faithful to us. When we're not faithful to God, guess what? He's still faithful to us, because he is a faithful God. He can be trusted. America is in this dilemma right now because the church has ran after riches. We sought after prosperity. We preached prosperity messages while leaving God's righteousness in a museum of historical consideration. In turn, we're losing our prosperity. We are called as God's people to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And in doing this, he will make our nation once again prosperous. We have to stop chasing riches. At one time, a president got into office because he promised a chicken in every pot.
Mm-hmm.
And now, even that is not considered a blessing to so many. But to chase riches, to chase prosperity is the quickest way to fall into traps and away from faith in God. We can't do that. We're not going to be able to chase money and chase God. This is our decision. This is the wisdom moment for today. And we'll lose our prosperity if we do that. But I encourage you to join those who are chasing after God and become a God chaser, like Tommy Tenney writes about in his books, God Chaser. That's what we're called to do, and separate yourself from all the troubles that come with chasing after riches and begin to seek God and go after him and understand by your faith and knowing that he will take care of you, who's rich in mercy and full of grace. He will meet your every need. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs chapter 30, 7 through 9. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehoods and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and still and so dishonor the name of God.
I know you don't know a lot about football, Pat, but
right.
You know, I don't know if you know, Tom Landry, he was a coach for Dallas.
Right, the Cowboys. Right,
Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know that.
You are Googling up over there, aren't you? Anyway, so you're Googled up.
I'm Googled up.
Anyway, this is what he said. This is what he said. He said, you know, you have all these players, football players, for those that don't know, it's a football team, and they want to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the goal.
Oh, now you're looking like you know everything. Okay, so then they want to win the Super Bowl, and so, but he's the coach, and he has to lead them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He has to coach them. He has to get them. He has to help them work as a team because you cannot get it if you're not a team.
Right.
And you got to get together. Mm-hmm. And so he said this. He said, I have to get them to do what they don't want to do to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful.
The coach said this. Coach Landry said this. He says, I have to get these players to do what they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
To have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Mm.
And you have to understand, when it comes to the things of God, your flesh doesn't go, woohoo, I'm going to fast. You know, I'm not going to eat for a week, you know,
right,
or
right.
It doesn't say, oh, this is so great. I'm going to deny what my flesh wants, you know.
Right.
And Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide with him. We have to hang out, remain in him, spend time with him, mm-hmm. you know, abiding with him, which means, you know, spending time with him, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he's saying or impressing on us to do and doing it. So we have to, mm-hmm. and we do that, we can be fruitful, and we're called to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. But our flesh is sort of like, you know, Coach Landry's talking to our flesh, and he says, you know, and I'm saying, you know, to you that, you know, we're going to have to get you to do, your flesh to do, mm-hmm. what it doesn't want to do, so that your spirit man mm-hmm. and your heart and your destiny, things that you always wanted to come mm-hmm. to pass, would come to pass.
Right.
And we have a simple plan for you, a plan that begins to progressively take you on that journey, the same way that he was taking his football team. You can actually begin on a journey with Jesus Christ that he will take you to a place into your destiny if you abide with him. Your flesh is going to go, no, I don't want to do this.
Mm.
But your spirit man is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, everybody really wants their destiny in God like that. They want to walk with God, right, Pat?
That's right.
But you need a simple plan to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and you can read through that, request a free, a simple plan. For free, and begin today. Just commit to 6 weeks. Commit to 6 weeks,
right?
And just watch what God does. A set time, set place. All that's there for you. Mm-hmm. Simple little way to do it. No cost involved. Just you, Jesus, your Bible, and a journal.
Right.
And you can find out more at iabide.org. That's iabide.org. Pat.
Yes.
Technology is amazing. The way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are just so, we get, you know, things are moving so quick. You remember, you used to have to, I don't know if you remember, dialing the phone,
yeah.
the dial?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, the sixth number. It's like, oh, man, they have 3 8s or zeros in their number. It's like, oh, my mm-hmm. goodness. You love those, like, 1 2 2 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about. You know, a lot of the generations listen. But listen, people text today, and the text sends a text message, and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up! You know?
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe. And you can have access to everything. And, of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text, text the letters V as in Victor, VFNTV. Mm-hmm. That's VFNTV to the number 22828. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You text, this is how simple it is. Mm-hmm. And it's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It, you can text VFNTV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes. And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed, and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on VF at VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads. And I don't know all the things going on there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Just text VFNTV to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to the number 22828. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.